Let's take our Bibles and turn this time into the New Testament, the second half of our Bibles, and turn to the little letter of the First Thessalonians, to the First Thessalonians, written by Paul to a much loved congregation, though he was not with them for very long. First Thessalonians, looking at chapter 5, and this morning we're just going to camp on one particular verse. First Thessalonians 5, verse 18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Father, having heard the word of God, would you help us to meditate upon it? May your Holy Spirit burn it in our hearts so that it would be evident and guiding in our lives in the days to come. Convert us not only from sinner to saint, but also from one constantly marked by grumbling to those constantly marked by gratitude. In this, we need your help. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's be seated. If I said the name of Matthew Henry, many of you would recognize the name, maybe somewhat vaguely, and I'll give you some frame of reference. It's the name of a set of commentaries that many of us have used. It's free online and very helpful. And Matthew Henry was not only known for being a wise pastor and a lucid commentator on the Scriptures, but he was also known as a pastor for being a very grateful pastor. He was regularly known for his expressions of gratitude, so much so that there was one occasion in which he was robbed. And someone asked him his thoughts about that, and he says, "Well, I'm grateful." And which, of course, maybe like you, the person sort of scratched their head a little bit, maybe figuratively, maybe literally, and said, "On what basis are you grateful that you were robbed?" He says, "Well, I've got four." And this is what he said. Number one, that I was never robbed before. Number two, that they only took my wallet and not my life. Number three, though they took everything in the wallet, there wasn't really that much in it. And fourth, because it was I who was robbed and not I doing the robbing. Matthew Henry sort of walks out for us the discipline of being able to find reasons to give thanks in all circumstances. This morning, as we're looking at this passage, it's one of those passages where it is rather straightforward, isn't it? There's not much to decipher for us, but let's at least slow down and walk our way through the verse a bit before we go out, and I pray, live it. Maybe even live it before we leave. And so let's look this morning at your sermon notes and at the passage particularly, and just observe the central command that is given to us. And the central command is this: give thanks. It is the third in a triumvirate of commands that are given in rapid fire succession here at the end of this letter that Paul writes to the Thessalonians in verse 16. Rejoice always. That pray without ceasing. The constant nature of the Christian is one to be rejoicing, particularly as we think about who God is and what He has done for us in Christ Jesus. And to pray without ceasing, this God who saves us, He needs to regularly be merciful to us and regularly helping us in all our moments of need. Pray without ceasing. And then, along with rejoicing and praying, acknowledging our dependence upon the Lord, give thanks. in all circumstances. This is the central command. So if you leave today and somebody asks you, or if you're walking down the street tomorrow and somebody says, "Hey, what did your pastor preach about on Sunday?" If you remember nothing else, remember these two words: give thanks. And perhaps that will prompt the remembrance of the rest of the sermon, as well as prompt remembrance to live it out as well. Well, who is he speaking to here? So this will bring us to the who of the central command. Who exactly is Paul writing to? He's writing to the Thessalonians. Now, who are the Thessalonians, in case you don't know who they are? Well, they were a church that Paul spent about 2 to 3 weeks with. And he had to leave them. Such was the opposition. And so this very new, young church, he had to leave in the midst of having not discipled them very long. He had sent Timothy back to them to find out how they were doing. And indeed, Timothy came back. Paul, it's wonderful that not only have they got the gospel and they're clinging to that, but they're spreading the gospel wherever they go. And so Paul, in this little letter, is encouraging them. In several instances, more of which we'll hear in a moment, but he's writing to believers to give thanks. Believers of all people are to be those marked by gratitude, of thanksgiving. Think of this. You who were once enemies, now called the children of God through the work of Jesus Christ. You who were once not a people, far from God, now been brought near by the reconciling work of Christ Jesus. And now you are his precious possession, his treasure, his heirs with Christ. Oh, believers who acknowledge all that God has done, those basis for rejoicing, who also see how many times he's answered their prayers. Believers are those who are to be giving thanks always. Last week we looked at Isaiah 12. Remember that first verse? Maybe not, so let me read it. You will say in that day, "I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for though you were angry with me, your anger turned away, that you might comfort me." And that anger turned away in Christ Jesus, that propitiation, not that we first loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son into the world to be the propitiation for our sins, the anger-turning sacrifice, as 1 John 4 says. And then Romans 6:17, "But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you have committed." Paul, reflecting on the Corinthians, "I give thanks to God always for you because of the grace of God that was given to you in Christ Jesus." The nearness of our God is something to give thanks for. Believers who have been brought to faith in Jesus Christ, now been given eternal life, the Holy Spirit welling up springs of joy in our hearts, the believers of Christ. I'm not going to hold a non-believer to this expectation. This is not a command for the pagans, though they would do well to acknowledge all of God's good graces to them, common graces to them, like life to get up out of bed and the sun to shine. I was reading someone, I forget who, and they were musing, they were letting their imagination go, and they captured the musing on the page, and they said, "Imagine if we all got up this morning and the sun had not crossed the horizon. And the eighth hour," so this would be an older writer, right? So the eighth hour, who says that? So the eighth hour and the ninth hour come along, and it's still dark outside. And the tenth hour and the eleventh hour, it was still dark with no hint of a glimmer of light across the horizon. He said, what would occur? Except that all our churches would be filled with people that we knew and that we did not know, all crying out for God to send the sun. And then imagine at about 2 or 3 of the hour, the 2 or 3 in the afternoon hour, after all this pleading and praising with pleading and praying unto God, that the sun rose. He said, what would be the natural inclination for everyone to rise up and express gratitude? And then he goes on and says, and yet that's what God does every day. Sends the sun to shine on the good and the evil. The rain, too. Oh, all have need and right obligation to thank God for all his mercies. But how much more so the believers? in whom he has showered grace and mercy and love. So the who of this, that's us who claim the Lord Jesus Christ and who are claimed by him. Let us be those who give thanks. And why? Well, doesn't the verse tell us? Give thanks in all circumstances. For, because, here is why, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. There's a lot of wonderment in our lives. What is the will of God for me? Is it that I should take this job? Is it that I should take that job? Should I sell my car? Should I date this person or that person? But what should I do 5 years from now? What is God's will for me? And here's one clear smack in your face answer. Give thanks. Give thanks. Today. Give thanks. This is God's will for you in your life. And perhaps you have read 1 Thessalonians recently and you're thinking to yourself, well, that sort of sounds familiar, for this is God, the will of God for your life. And you were exactly right, because over in chapter 3 he says, what else is the will of God for us? Our sanctification. Our being made holy. More and more into the image of the Son. How is gratitude then, with this phrase, this is the will of God for you, how is gratitude connected to sanctification? Because gratitude helps me to lower myself so that God is greater. Helps me to understand everything that I have. There's not a thing that I have, says the Scriptures, except that which I have received. And my being grateful to the Lord acknowledges that I didn't provide. Let's say you have a good job and you're tempted to sit there and you're thinking, well, I've provided all that's in my house. Who provided you skill and mental wherewithal? Who has provided you with the physical ability to get out of bed each day? Well, all of it can be traced back to the hand of God. Give thanks in all circumstances to the sanctification of your mind and your heart is to grow in your dependence and your recognition of all that God has done and is doing. For this is God's will. I could go on to say that it's also one of the elements of being filled with the Spirit. We're very quick to say, well, I wish the Spirit was present, and somehow we mean like really juicy music or somehow some physical manifestation. Well, the Bible says that being filled with the Spirit is going to end up with being thankful. So as long as you keep complaining about those around you or circumstances you're in, you are actually going against this. What are you talking about, Pastor? Ephesians 5, 18 through 20. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be what? Filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks. Here are the responses to being filled with the Spirit. I'm going to begin talking to you all Bible talk when the Spirit fills me, because it's the Spirit who gives the Bible to us. And the Spirit's going to have us encourage one another with psalm and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord. Another element of being filled with the Spirit, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there are some reasons why we as believers go against God's will. One is immaturity. Immaturity. And we are like the little children in our lives who only want what they want, when they want it, how they want it. And throw little tantrums when they don't get it their way. And we would say, well, they're young, they're immature. And so are believers who stand before God and throw little tantrums that they're not getting their way when they want it and how they want it. That's a sign of immaturity. It's a lack of discipline, which goes along with maturity. It's very easy to grumble. Grumbling and complaining is associated with the flesh. We're all born grumblers. The infant who is merely weeks old out of the mother's womb will let you know when they're dissatisfied with life. Gratitude is a work of the Spirit needing training in us. Grumbling comes naturally. Ask the Israelites in the wilderness as God is providing for them day after day and week after week and month after month and year after year. And they still want to grumble and complain against God. We do know, right? Just in case we've forgotten this, we do know that what God says about grumbling and complaining, right? He hates it. It's one of the few sins that God is so strong about. He hates it. He condemns grumbling and complaining. Whether it's to your spouse or to your children or your children to your parents or to your workmates or your playmates. We are undisciplined when our mouths are unruly to continually flow with complaining and grumbling. Whether we do it in person or in little passive-aggressive tweets or Facebook posts. The Lord reads all that too, right? Or if we just hide it in our heart, the Lord sees the heart too. To help us to be disciplined, we almost need new eyes. For the heart of the grumbler is always looking around them to see what is wrong, so that they may comment and correct. The heart of the grateful one and the eyes of the grateful one is always looking around to that which is good, that they might be able to commend and encourage. The difference between the heart of the grumbler and the heart of the grateful one is one looks to what I do not have, and the other looks to what they do have. But the will of God is that we give thanks. And He gives to us the Holy Spirit, who is even on this day, in this very hour, in this very moment, working His power that we would be conformed more and more into the image of God. In the image of His Son, actually. So that it's God's will that we leave off grumbling and complaining. Lord, help us even now. Lord, forgive us even now. Lord, help us to go to those that we've been grumbling and complaining about and to, and ask their forgiveness and for their help, that we might see that which is good and give praise, to give thanksgiving. So we disobey God when we are immature, young in the faith, perhaps, or when we are undisciplined and give ourselves over to the old man instead of pursuing the new. We fail to be grateful when we worship at the idol of unmet expectations. When we worship at the idol of unmet expectations, when everybody else around me doesn't live the way that I want them to and do things on my time schedule and in the way that I would have them to do that. There's really a shorter name, perhaps, for the idolatry of unmet expectations. And that's just mere idolatry, where I wish to be God and control everyone else around me to my liking. These would be reasons for our breaking God's will. Now, dear believer, if the Spirit is pricking you, then be thankful that even now He's bringing your attention to this. Even now He's almost physically drawing your hand to your mouth so that you do not grumble anymore today. Even now, if the Spirit is convicting you of this and you're biting your tongue, how dare He talk to me like that? Be thankful, for that is the Lord's work, to make you more according to His will. Give thanks, for we would rather not be like those who dishonor God by not giving thanks to Him. Romans 1:21. Ingratitude potentially exposes a heart that does not honor God. For although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Oh, be grateful, people, unto God. Let us not be like the Egyptians, but even let us be like Job, who confessed to his wife, "The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." So we see in the text the central command, give thanks, and we see why, for this is God's will in Christ Jesus for you. So as we live in Christ Jesus, we have the whole world to be thankful for, and more on that in just a moment. But here comes the next question. Well, when then should I give thanks? Well, in one sense, he gives us a very explicit answer, right? Give thanks in all circumstances. In an implicit way, because of verses 16 and 17, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. The sense is give thanks always and without ceasing, also in all circumstances. Let's be perhaps mindful of the young boy who was asked to give grace, to say grace, to give thanks at the dinner table one night, and as everyone was bowing their heads, he peeked at the table and found nearly every dish that he didn't like and prayed honestly the following, "Lord, I don't like the looks of it, but I thank you for it anyway." We're all ready to thank the Lord for the new job, for the new clothes, for the new friend, for the new relationship in our lives. We're all thankful for being able to spit out the gratefulness, the thanksgiving for that list of good. But what do you do if that list this year has been rather short? And you're struggling with finding anything good? Give thanks, because God is good. And He does not forget any of His. He does not lose hold. He is not surprised where you are. But the very valley you are going through, He may be leading you through so that you may stand on an even higher mountaintop in worship and service to Him. But it hurts. No doubt. This is a painful world. It is fraught with disappointments. It is fraught with discouragements. But our good God superintends over all of it. And He does good for those who love Him, who are called according to His purpose. We may not see that good at the moment. Like Corrie ten Boom, some of you know the name. You grew up reading some of her books and accounts, and some of you have no idea who this lady is. And so I'll tell those of you who are maybe too young to remember her name. So Corrie ten Boom was a Christian in the concentration camps of Germany during World War II. Jews were not alone in the concentration camps. And Corrie ten Boom and her sister, where her sister was a great thanker, and Corrie ten Boom admits that she was not. She was not always grateful. And one occasion, her sister said, "Corrie, thank the Lord for every little thing in this barracks." And so they began listing, and then her sister pointed to the fleas, which were manifest in the barracks. And she said, "I could not do it. I could not thank the Lord for the fleas." She said, until several months went by and we recognized that we were unhindered in our giving of worship in the barracks. No one came in to take our Bibles away. They never told us to stop. And finally, somebody asked the guards, "How come you do not come into our barracks?" And they said, "Because of the fleas, we cannot stand to go in there." So there, if I can maybe not wrench the illustration, there may be some fleas in your life right now you don't understand the good of in the moment. But be thankful in all circumstances. Even that which you find difficult is being used by God to prepare you for heaven, to fit you for heaven, because even the difficulties are being worked to bring about perseverance. Now, what does Romans 5, 3 through 5 say according to Paul? Romans 5, 3 through 5. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. James 1, very similar. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet various trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete and lacking in nothing. But Pastor Ken, I don't get it. And no one ever promised you that you would in this life. And if somebody did promise you that was a false promise. But you can be thankful for the hand who holds you. The word that says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. The verse that says, he who began a good work in you will see you through to the day of completion in Christ Jesus. You can hold on to Jude, where it says that God's plan, as bumpy as it is now, is to bring you to himself spotless and blameless and with great joy. That is what God says, regardless of whether or not I understand the maneuverings of his strange providence at the moment. And some of you are struggling. And I'm not trying to smack you in the face and tell you to get over it. But I'm trying to come alongside you and say, he's not done yet. Give thanks for the goodness of God to be near you. Psalm 75:1. When one comes to see God's hand in all things, he learns to give thanks for all things. In the moment of difficulty, what can I give? What could God be doing that I could at least give thanks for? Even now, we have been given everything needed to participate in the divine nature. 2 Peter chapter 1. Go back and look at that. Even now, our afflictions below are preparing our hearts for our perfections above. One way to use your afflictions now is to help you let loose of this world and prepare you for the next. Well, there's just nothing to be thankful for in my life. Well, I've just said one, be thankful for God being persevering, steadfast, faithful. And if you really cannot come to the place where you can just quickly lift off, this is one good thing that I see God doing in my life, how about looking around at the lives of those around you? Perhaps that he has given life to a loved one for another day. Yeah, but I struggle with them. Yes, but they have life and there's still hope that God will still work in them. Oh, well, I am encouraged when I see so-and-so. Well, that's a good blessing. Praise the Lord for that good friend who encourages you along the way, even in the midst of some valleys that you're going through. The Thessalonians were not unaware of difficulties. Some of them were already dying. This is the book where in chapter 4 he says, I do not want you to be ignorant, brothers, about those who have fallen asleep. And it may very well be that some of them have fallen asleep because of the persecutions they were facing. And yet this is the group to whom, as they are being persecuted, as Paul had to flee them, as perhaps some of them are being persecuted for their teaching, and some of them even being killed for their teaching, to this group, Paul says, even now, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God. Warren Wiersbe, in one of his little commentaries, said this: in heaven, it's all praise. In hell, there is no praise. On earth, we must choose. will we praise. Let us, beginning today, not be hellish brutes who can give no praise or thanksgiving. But let us be heavenly, the will of God in all circumstances, to find some means to give thanks. Well, Pastor Ken, I'm going to need help with that. Well, I'm glad you asked. Because inside your worship guide, there's a yellow slip sheet of paper. And on the top of it says Thanksgiving prompts. Because sometimes we do need help. We're just in that slough of despair, as John Bunyan said in Pilgrim's Progress. And sometimes we just need another to gently lift our chin upward to remind us of the good of God. And so I came up with 18. This isn't perfect. You might come up with many more. Add to this as much as you want to. Please do. But Tuesday, maybe this afternoon, go home and begin to make your way through this. And on Monday, a little bit more. And on Tuesday, a little bit more. And then on Tuesday evening, as we come together, let's go through this together. Let some of these be some of our lips. And maybe you'll get stuck on one for a while, because I have several that fall in this category. Good! Because what happens is, the more that we begin to count our blessings and find the things that we are thankful for, the more we find that we're thankful. I know that's sort of maybe counterintuitive, but the more that we give thanks, the more we become thankful. And it doesn't have to be a great, big, gigantic, the sky opened up and down came this blessing. It might be just to be able to see the sunrise this morning, or to smell that flower, or to be encouraged in the midst of a trial. So, this is, some of you grew up in the age of Mad Libs, little booklets where you'd add a noun or adjective or adverb. This is sort of that kind of thing, but just to help you go. So I thank God for, and it should say, attribute of God. Because, so maybe you're thankful for God's mercy. Why? Maybe you're thankful for God's long suffering. There are some people in my life that I'm thankful that God is patient, because He's not yet brought them to saving faith. And there's time yet. He has not been too quick to flash His anger and bring them to judgment. I thank God for His attribute of God. Because, give that some thought. And maybe as you go, you'll come up with a couple of others. Fine. Use another sheet of paper. Use a whole other book to be filled with thanksgiving. That's all right. I thank God for using name of person to tell me about Jesus and help bring me to saving faith. I thank God for helping me overcome, or at least be strengthened against, some sin in your life. I thank God for giving saving faith to so-and-so this year. Do you know somebody who has expressed faith for the first time this year? Let's not neglect giving thanks for that. I thank God for answering my prayer for whatever that may be. As we look backwards, we can be encouraged. I thank God for seeing me through. Or maybe at least I thank God for holding me through a current difficult situation. I thank God for the name of a current friend. So you may not have 20 friends. Do you have one friend that you could call, you know, at 2 in the morning and they'd be there? You are a blessed person. I thank God for helping me mature in my walk by. I thank God for giving me hope this year when. I thank God for whatever material provision. We are to give thanks in all circumstances. I thank God for a name of a person who helped me through a difficult moment. I thank God for a good thing that happened this past year. Maybe I should go on then to thank God for a good thing that happened this past week. I thank God for a particular verse in the Bible. I thank God for another attribute of God. Because by this point, you're probably going to, the pump is primed now. And we go back to God and something about God and who He is. Sometimes we're overly focused simply on what God has in His hand instead of focusing on God's hand. being thankful for Him, the relationship that we have with Him in Christ Jesus. I thank God for allowing me to help another person. I thank God for using me in His kingdom by, maybe there's been some way that you've been able to be used to serve Him. This, thank Him for that opportunity. It's a privilege to be called one of His ambassadors. I thank God for healing me this year from, well, Pastor Ken, I really didn't have anything. I just had a cold. Well, do you still have it? You're not sitting there sniffling and wiping like there's no turning off the thought. Be thankful for that. Large or small, recent or old, let's be a thankful people, because that is heavenly. That is pleasing in the ears of our God. So in all circumstances, this is pleasing to God, being thankful to God for what He's doing in your life, for who He is, maybe for being active in the life of somebody else. And then on this Lord's Day, let us be thankful for Jesus, risen from the grave. Justification for our sins, our being able to be declared innocent by the judge of the heavens because of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us give Him thanks for the gift of grace, the gift of believing. Let us give thanks for the gift of repentance. Let us give thanks that in Christ Jesus, all of God's promises are yes and amen. Let us be thankful for Christ Jesus, because though He has left us now, He's not left us for as orphans. He has given to us His Holy Spirit. He has not given us only His general revelation. He's given to us His specific revelation as well in the written Word of God. Let us be thankful for Christ in that He calls us brothers and sisters and friends. Let's be thankful that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners like us, of which any of us left to ourselves stand before God with our heaping pile of sins, and then we're going to think somehow we're going to wink God into letting us in. No. All our sins condemn us, but in Christ Jesus, all those sins are gone. And there is only the spotless record of the Son. His righteousness becomes ours. Oh, Christ Jesus has promised that when all my sad days are over, He will come and gather me to Himself. Thank Christ Jesus that He is never told one lie, and all of them are sure and trustworthy. Let us thank Jesus today. Be thankful of Christ and who He is and what He has done for us. And see the rest of the thankfulness begin to unfurl in our lives as well. Let's pray. Father, if we would only pause. If we would only cry out to Your Spirit, oh, help me to see. Like the prophet's assistant, Gehazi, who could not see the army of the Lord around him until the prophet prayed for him. Oh, help us to see the multitude of blessings that You bestow upon us. And may Your Spirit indeed put a guard on our mouths. He weed out more and more our grumbling and our complaining and our accusing You of not measuring up to our wishes. Would You help us, after the last amen, to think through what we say, what we text, what we type, what we set our minds on. Help us to live according to the will of God by the power of Your Spirit in Christ Jesus. Help us to be grateful. Help us to be a people whose mouths are regularly filled with thank You. To You and to one another, as well. This we ask, and this we need, and this you are able to do. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. This